She liked me, and as she swam by, she would often present her genitals, which I would caress and sometimes finger. She liked that. I contemplated coming in on a Saturday at a time no one would be around and actually attempting intercourse. I was young and horny and, I believe, capable. But the idea that I might be found dead, naked, and raped by dolphin teeth deterred me.
What's up, guys? Good evening and shit. It's like 10:49 p.m.
Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets.
Because once upon a time, I used to be about, like, the aliens. You know what I mean? Like, the greys, reptilians, and what they're all about, the whole thing. And the more and more I moved along in this journey of waking up, I'm pretty sure the alien is inside of us.
They programmed the trips, as I found out later, and took me out into the universe in a very expanded way.
They?
The dolphins.
Really?
The three dolphins, yes.
You know, truth be told, I'm not a very big fan of the black people.
Years ago, I was Chinese.
Whoa, it's the illusion, reporting from somewhere on spaceship Earth.
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
Take 150 milligrams of ketamine, and suddenly, the Earth Coincidence Control Office removed my penis and handed it to me. I screamed in terror. And
I love the kind of woman that will actually just kill me.
When I was a little boy, my daddy touched my bum bum. And now I'm crazy.
What's up, y'all? I got an email today. I'm going to get to it here in a minute. It's about
sexual molestation as a child.
Alrighty then, folks. We are back at it again with another hot new cast. Welcome back. Welcome back. Let's see here. I don't know what I really want to talk about today. You know, I don't really want to talk about the shooting that happened just north of here from Fort Worth, up in Allen, where apparently a Mexican dude who I guess wants to be a white supremacist. I don't know. How does that work? I know in at least the California prison system, I know whites and Latinos, I know they click up whenever it comes to like a any sort of like race war in prison. They click up to go against the blacks, and I'm not sure who the fuck the black people have on their side. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy enough that you already have to deal with, well, prison culture is just a crazy culture anyways, because, and again, this is just from what I've heard. You know, luckily enough, I was in, the type of jail I was in was, you know, Navy jail. And, you know, obviously it wasn't just the Navy. It was every branch of the military or whoever got in trouble with, you know, other branch of the military. It was there. It wasn't like Leavenworth, you know, Brig Miramar is a relatively, you know, it's almost like prison daycare. You know what I mean? It's not like what a real jail experience would be. But that whole, you know, that whole culture. So I was with a guy in there. His last name was Lawrence. He was a white dude, and he killed, he was in Afghanistan, or he was somewhere overseas, during the war. because of the inside job that happened on 9/11. So he was somewhere over stationed overseas, and I think his company kept hitting IEDs, so he kept losing people, and eventually he got upset, found, I guess, the leader of whatever tribe that was over there, son, and went from pretty much kidnapped the son, and this is just from, you know, this is just from his account, so how much of this is true or not, you know, I honestly don't know, but he was in, you know, be pretty hard to lie about it because, you know, the guards in there have your paperwork. You have your paperwork on deck and they'll get checked. But he went from trying to intimidate this guy's son and killed him. And somebody that was in his company told on him. And so he ended up getting convicted under court martial. And his first stint was in Leavenworth. So he was in Leavenworth is like, it's just like prison. It's just a military prison. But those are like where some of like, you know, the more serious crimes go, you know what I mean? For, you know, somebody like me that was just trying to sell drugs, you know, you go to Brig Miramar, which is daycare. But he was explaining to me in Leavenworth that, you know, the guards tell you, you know, if you go in there and you're white and the guard is talking to you is white, he pretty much lets you know how it is. Like, hey, I don't want to see you interacting with any minority. And so this was coming from the guards down, but it was just, you know, it's a culture that gets. And I don't know how it started, but it's the craziest culture ever because it literally goes to show, at least to me, it goes to show that, like, you could literally not have shit, have no freedom, and instead of, I don't know how I should say this because, you know, I don't want to call him oppressor. you know what I mean, because it's not really that, but, you know, whenever even when I was in Brig Miramar, you know, you start looking at the guards like the guards were the others, you know what I mean? Like, to me, you know, in Brig Miramar, it was a great culture because, you know, everybody talked to everybody except chomos. Like, that was the, those were, you know, those were the negative people. You know what I mean? Like, those are the people you didn't interact with in Brig Miramar. But from what he was telling me in Leavenworth, you know, and he was explaining what the prison culture was. And my dad, to some extent, you know what I mean? Whenever he got home, you know, he explained a lot of the prison culture as well. But, you know, he was telling me that it was coming from the guards down. Like, the guards would, like, let you know what it was, like, hey, I don't want to see you interacting with any minorities. If any minority fucks with you, let me know, and I'll handle it for you. And you know, but back to my thought is like, you know, like, if you're already going to be in their environment, I don't understand. You know, well, obviously I'm not going to understand it because a lot of these people, you know what I mean, that are in, I don't know. I just don't get why you would make more of a conflict. You know, when you could just create the conflict and not create it, because, you know, I don't want to incite like a fucking prison riot or anything like that. I guess I'm not really sure where the fuck I'm going with this. Again, I'm retarded. But I guess I just don't understand why you would even make that more of a conflict. You know what I mean? I don't get it. But yeah, so... Where was I? Oh, I got to here because of the Mexican guy that wanted to be a white supremacist. So apparently they unearthed this guy. I guess he had a social media, like Instagram, Facebook, and shit like that. But I guess he kept getting kicked off because he was violating the rules. And they quickly found this guy's media, and it comes from like a it was like a Russian social media, and apparently he had like no friends or anything like that. But then, you know, it starts stoking the flame. It's like, well, all right, how did they find this guy's Russian social media? You know, like, how, like, I don't know. It's just always, like, how they find out this shit so quick. You know what I mean? It's like, man, obviously what he did was wrong. And he's not abolished of anything. But then it's like, I guess this is the negative thing about being so wrapped up in, I wouldn't even call them conspiracies because a lot of this shit is real. But this one would fall under, I guess it would fall under a conspiracy, or it's just, to me, it's a little fishy. You know what I mean? And obviously I could be wrong, but it's just weird how they find out about these people so quick. And I was listening to Alex Jones talk, and Alex Jones is fucking hilarious because he'll be like, he was talking about this dude being Latino, and then he, right before he cuts to one of his ads to sell supplements, which Alex Jones selling supplements is fucking hilarious to me, just because he is not, you wouldn't consider him the beacon of health looking at him. But right before he cuts to one of his commercial breaks, he goes, he goes, I'll show you why an Hispanic person can't be a white supremacist. And then after that, we'll talk about how it's 81% of the blacks that are killing white people. And then he just cuts the break. But yeah, I was listening to Alex Jones talk, and Alex Jones, he revealed text messages that he was getting from feds. So other feds, knew that there was going to be an attack. According to Alex Jones, on InfoWars, he showed the text messages. But according to Alex Jones, feds knew of an attack coming, and Alex Jones was advised not to go to the grocery stores, not to go to the malls, and lo and behold, an Hispanic dude just starts killing people in Allen, Texas. And then what's not being talked about, apparently there was a guy who ran over, he ran over like 18 people, I believe. Let me look it up. I think he ran over 18 people, close to the border. And so Alex Jones goes into pretty much, Alex Jones goes into that these cartels had a sit down and, you know, pretty much put a green light on attacks in America. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I only bring that up to, you know, it's like, well, okay, how did they know? You know what I mean? If the messages were real, and it's a big if, you know what I mean? To his credit, Alex Jones has been right on a lot of shit. He's been wrong. He has been wrong, but he has been right on a lot of shit as well. Like, majority of his shit, he's been writing about. I found out about Alex Jones when I started digging in, looking up shit about the September 11th attacks. And there he has a documentary. It's called 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. Not to be confused with Fahrenheit 9/11, which you should watch anyway. So if you don't, if you're just turned off by anything Alex Jones, you don't have to listen. You don't have to watch 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. But it does give you it gives you really great insight as to what was going on prior to September 11th and how people and pretty much how we got there and how we got to the government lying to us about 9/11. If you're just turned off by Alex Jones and you know you can't stand the thought of him, Michael Moore, who was I believe he's like an extremely left guy. He's like very, very Democratic. To his credit, he has a great 9/11 documentary as well. It's called Fahrenheit 9/11. And just watch that. And just watch the case he lays out. He only lays out a case for 9/11. Just watch that, and then it's like, okay, so watch that, and then just think about the past couple of years of what the media has been telling us, and it's like, oh, well, they say a lot of the same shit, you know, obviously it's just different, you know, different events. But a lot of it is the same fucking place. It's the same script. That's for another story. They're not talking about this guy who ran over 18 people on the border. And if what Alex Jones was saying was correct about feds being warned, it's like, well, how do they know? You know what I mean? And is this orchestrated to start, you know, trying to push for more weapons bans? And, to be 100% transparent, I used to be against what I thought were assault rifles bans, like 100%. I got psyoped into, you know what I mean, thinking... And it's easy to get psyoped into that if we're always being taught we were oppressed and we were victims. We weren't all kings. You know what I mean? That's, you know, you'll hear a lot of black people be like, you know, we were kings. Like, no, we had kings. We weren't all kings. You know what I mean? Like that, like no empire had all of his citizens being kings. You know what I mean? Like, no, there were black people that were kings, you know, and that much is obvious. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't like, there's nothing groundbreaking there. You know, every civilization that was set up had a king, you know what I mean? But you know, we weren't all kings, you know, as they would have you to believe, you know, it's just like now we're not all presidents. You know what I mean? We're not all government officials. You know what I mean? Like there's, yeah. Oh fuck. See, I just like that. I get off fucking topic and oh fuck. I got to stop smoking weed whenever I'm doing these shits. I'm trying to remember how I got to exactly where I'm at, and I'll try to figure it out in real time here with you. I just got to do some mental gymnastics. Okay. I wasn't able to do mental gymnastics. I did have to pause and rewind back to where I was at. But I was admitting to me, I used to be against weapon bans as well. And then, you know, but again, you know, we were taught that as black people, at least, you know, we were taught that we were oppressed by the white man and blase, blase. And, you know, to an extent, we were. But, you know, it's like, bro, we, at some point, you have to move on. You know what I mean? Like, you can at least acknowledge it, be like, it was fucked up. But let's keep it going. And, so that was a reason why, at least to me, I'm probably cut all that shit out. But yeah, so I used to be, against, assault rifle bans. You know, obviously I wanted, you know, I was like, it's cool with having like a pistol and a shotgun, but for some reason, you know, and I would argue about this. Like, I was like, well, you don't need, like an AR-15 or, but then it's like, yeah, you do, because nobody is going to protect you from anything, really. You know, I've gone down like huge YouTube rabbit holes, and it's crazy the amount of videos there are of people just kicking in people's doors and like robbing them. And a lot of time, the only thing that stops these people from kicking in doors is letting off rounds. Cause a lot of the times, these people are armed. Like, so a pistol isn't going to do it. You know what I mean? But what does it is letting off multiple shots at a time. You know what I mean? And majority of the gun owners, 99%. I think it's safe to say that 99% of the gun owners aren't fucking going off the rails and killing people. You know, they're just not. It's unfortunate that people get shot, but it's crazy the type of death that we focus on. Because while murder is bad, you can make a case that selling cigarettes is murder. When you know something kills something, you know what I mean? But people still do it anyways. And companies are still allowed to sell anyways. You know what I mean? I don't watch as much TV anymore. So I'm not, especially TV with fucking commercials. But I don't see cigarette advertisements anymore. But, you know, when I was growing up, back in like the early to late 90s, well, I guess it would be later, but I remember seeing like cigarette ads, you know, and on the pack of a cigarette, it lets you know, like, warning, this shit may, but companies are still allowed to sell that shit to you. And I would, if we're not taking war into consideration, and just, you know, we're just going off of homicides and murder, I wonder what the number would be. It would be interesting to see the numbers of, you know, tobacco death versus gun violence, you know, gun violent murders, or not, you know, deaths that are linked to that, you know, so that you got your cancers and your shit like that. You know, if so there was so and I say you don't know who's trying. You're like, yeah, it's just it's just, you know, off to me, the type of deaths that we focus on. When, you know, in life, that is the only thing you're guaranteed. Maybe this is a stupid ass thought, but I'm going to say it out loud anyways. Like, you know, it's like, cause obviously, you know, it's obviously bad, but you know, you're going to die anyways. No matter what. And is any time, if you're able and functioning, I don't care how old you are, you know what I mean? There are 90-year-old people that are still, you know, able and functioning. But if you're able and functioning, is there ever a good time to die? You know what I mean? But so to take death, and I guess what I'm trying to say is to take death and start and to start banning shit because of death, especially when it comes to shit that can protect you. Again, there's just thousands. There's like thousands of ring doorbell cameras of dudes kicking in people's doors, and they're kicking people's doors in fucking apartment complexes. You know what I mean? So not much less a house, but I remember thinking, well, shit, you know, if I'm on the third floor, you know, you never have to worry about getting your shit kicked in because it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? But obviously I'm thinking logically, you know, like I'd be, you know, but these motherfuckers, like people who are kicking in people's doors, they're not thinking fucking logically. That is, to me, one of the scariest things you can ever do. I remember, vividly remember this. We might have been in 9th or 10th grade, you know, just hanging out with the wrong people. Me and my homeboy Bogan, we were off of Las Vegas Trail and, you know, just walking around, just trying to find, just trying to get into shit, just being fucking idiots. Legitimately just being fucking idiots. And for me, there was at least no reason, you know what I mean? There was no reason for me to be doing this type of shit, but I guess it was maybe to try to get cool with people and, you know, people who now I don't give a fuck about, you know what I mean? And I'm glad I went through this type of shit so I'm able to tell my kids about it. But I remember we're talking with dudes who we knew, who we were, you know, with cool with at school, you know what I mean? I don't consider them friends now, but I was cool with them at school at one point. And this is how you know, like, shit was crazy. Because we were talking, and this is before, we were just talking, and this dude, whose name I won't say, but this dude takes a lighter, turns it on, and puts it under my homeboy Bogan's chin. As like a joke. Like, he thought that shit was funny. You know what I mean? So these are like people in my environment who I got to saw later on that evening. That, you know, that's not a, like we do that shit, we laugh, you know. I'm looking back on it now, obviously it's fucked up, but we at the time we fucking laughed about it. Later on down the evening, I don't know how it gets brought up, but that we were like, somehow there was word of this dude who was selling drugs who had some money, and it just gets brought up that we should go kick in the door. And just like that, you know, like, I could have said yes to that shit. But when that shit was brought up, because people were like, yeah, let's go do that shit. Where I was just like, yo, like, that is fucking crazy. Like, yo, like, you know, we live in Texas, so everybody has a fucking gun in Texas. And it's like, oh, why would you ever do that shit? But, you know, just like that, it was a yes for a lot of people. Me and my homeboy Bogan, we're like, fuck that shit. We started walking home, you know. But, you know, just as quick as everybody, like, each one of those dudes said yes, I don't think they ever did it. But I grew up with a dude who, that's how he got killed. He got killed kicking in people's doors. He got shot. But, bro, if you kick in somebody's door, you deserve to get shot and killed. Bro, that's somebody's sanctuary. And especially now that I have kids, it's like, bro, I will take anybody's life. I don't give a fuck who it is on the other side of the door if they're trying to kick in my door. And I want a fucking AR-15 to be able to do that shit. You know what I mean? Because a pistol, again, these people are coming in armed anyway. So, you know, a pistol that's only holding 15 rounds isn't going to do the trick. It's just not going to do the trick. And majority of the gun owners are not going out and killing people. I've stayed on this shit for way too long, but it's like, okay, well, if what Alex, okay, that's a fucking tangent. If what Alex Jones was saying was correct and people were warned about this shit, you don't think that's fucking crazy as hell, like that the feds knew, you know. So then it's like, man, it starts, you start, we'll start spinning again. Like, all right, man, they knew about 9/11 beforehand. They knew about a Pearl Harbor attack happening beforehand. They knew about a lot of shit beforehand. And somehow feds were getting told not to go into grocery stores. You know, they didn't, like, that shit, like, that's the type of shit that should make the news. Like, yo, hey, intercepted a threat. Well, I don't know, because then are you scaring people at that point? But maybe, I don't know. This is one that I don't know, but should that be reported in the news? Like, obviously you don't want to cause a mass fucking panic, but shouldn't people know? You know what I mean? Especially if it's in the area. Maybe it doesn't have to be reported worldwide, but if it's in the area, maybe people should know about that shit. Just a thought. It's just a fucking thought. But so if feds were really getting warned about an imminent attack, it's like, did they not have, was this not planned? And I hope not, but it's just weird when it's like, yo, I can't really say, you know what I mean? And that's really about it. You know, I can't really say. Fuck, man, I stayed on that topic way too long, and I do apologize. You know, this is a comedy podcast, folks, and I don't mean to be too serious or anything. So John C. Lilly was a sick ass individual, and I mean sick in a good way. He may have been the sickest dude to ever grace the planet Earth, and if Jesus was a real person, including him, he may have been sicker than Jesus. So John C. Lilly's whole thing was he wanted to expand human consciousness, and which is already sick in and of itself. You know what I mean? He wants to travel beyond the human mind. But then somehow he got into wanting to communicate with cetaceans. So like whales and dolphins, you know, he believed that you could speak to them. Well, first he believed that they were smart and he wanted to teach them English. So what this dude did was he created a dolphin house, and essentially what it was is it was part house and part of it was underwater. I guess it was in California somewhere. And he wanted to co-live with them. And so what he did was somehow this lady named Margaret, who just heard about this dude, and she was like, yes, like, this guy has it figured out. I want to go work for him. Apparently John C. Lilly, he was apparently like a really smart guy, smart enough to where the NSA, which was relatively new around his time, ended up funding him later on down the line. Like, we're giving him grants and funding his project. The CIA, you know, obviously wanted to, so, which is weird because this is the CIA, this is right when they were experimenting with acid and LSD, and I don't, you know, I'm a retard, so I'm going to be jumping a lot of timelines here as I'm explaining to what John C. Lilly is all about. But, you know, he gets real heavy into LSD, you know, as one naturally would whenever one of your life's missions is to expand human consciousness. So this lady named Margaret finds out about this dude. She's like, yes, wants to go work with him. So she's the one that ends up living in the house with this dolphin who they named Peter. And so she would try to get him to speak English. He would pop his head above water, and she would ignore him whenever he was, you know, when dolphins do their clicking and their they're whistling. She would ignore that language, and she'd be like, Peter, ignore your language, speak in English. So she was trying to get the guy to speak in English. And to his credit, whenever he would pop up above water, you know, it wasn't perfect. Wasn't even close. It was nowhere near close to being perfect. But the dolphin was trying to sound it out. But, you know, Peter, I think they got him around the age of 6. And so he was doing well, but in the middle of Margaret trying to teach him lessons, you know, Peter would get a little horned up. You know what I mean? Peter was going through puberty at the time, and he'd get a little horned up, and he'd start like ramming into Margaret, and you know what I mean? Start trying to go in between her legs, and you know, he'd start nipping at her and shit. And what Margaret found out was, you know, he was getting these boners, these massive erections. And so Margaret started jacking Peter off, as one naturally would do to a dolphin whenever you're trying to get dolphins to speak English. Like, you know, that's just a natural progression, right? Like, if you're trying to teach any animal English, you go to jacking them off. And sometimes Margaret would do it with her feet. So, you know, Margaret, you know, obviously, she was a little horned up as well. And what's funny about this lady named Margaret is she ended up marrying the photographer who would take pictures of her with the dolphin Peter. And when Margaret was jacking this dolphin off, in her own diary, she says she would do it in open. Like, this wasn't a secret. Like, she would do it in front of other people. Like, she was just... she claimed to just be doing it as a thing to just try to further the research with Peter. You know, whether you believe that or not, it's up to you. But so she ended up marrying the photographer. And, you know, I would like to think, you know, the photographer saw that shit. And he was like, nice. Like, yo, this woman is a fucking freak. Like, for sure, she's not going to deny me anal sex. I must marry her. And so that, you know, naturally, that's what he did. He saw that she was a freak. You know, he could probably hold her, you know, probably use that shit against her. And he was able to, you know, have his way with her sexually. So, you know, Margaret was like, yo, I'll do this shit. So before she started jacking the dolphin off, she made an agreement with John C. Lilly. That John wouldn't interfere, you know, because they wanted it to be just the only interacting the dolphin was to have was with Margaret, to try to form that bond, to try to teach the language better. And so what John C. Lilly was like, he was like, well, shit, that's perfect. Because, you know, obviously I'm trying to expand, I'm trying to expand my own consciousness and trying to go beyond. He was like, so I'll just try to communicate with you through an isolation tank. So this dude, as the experiment was going on, he would be somewhere, in like a separate room or something like that. He would go into this isolation tank and he would try to, I guess, like, bird's eye view the interaction between Margaret and the dolphin Peter. And, you know, as he was doing this, you know, he would go into these these hallucinatory dreams almost. And so he would claim that these three spirits would come and convene with him. Like, these three spirits would talk to him. And these three spirits were named Earth Coincidence Control Office, or ECHO for short. We'll get into the name ECHO here a bit later on. But ECHO, what John C. Lilly was pretty much saying was, you know, that these dudes were what you would consider, like, what you would consider to be a coincidence in your life. Like, that's really these spirits trying to lead you on a different path, or trying to lead you towards a specific, you know, a specific path. And, you know, as John C. Lilly was, you know, as he was breaking bread with these guys, you know, obviously in the astral realm, not the physical realm. And, you know, as he was breaking bread with them astrally, they pretty much told him, they were like, yo, you got to ditch this government funding, and bro, you got to leave your wife. And so essentially what he does is he listens to him. He breaks up with his wife. He gets rid of the government funding, but the experiments are still going on. And they got, obviously they got nowhere near close, into having these dolphins speak English or anything like that. But, so as the, like, as the experiment started to go bad, and, you know, obviously it wasn't working, and he started to really focus on expanding the human consciousness. So he started getting into LSD, and would hop into these, you know, these isolation tanks, these for like hours at a time, and just completely disassociate from life, which is sick as fuck. I wish I was able to do that right now, like to just spend a couple of hours on fucking LSD or even on fucking mushrooms. And you know, but you know, he would be encountering these beings. And then he was like, yo, I know what I have to do. I have to give the dolphins the LSD. And then so we started giving dolphins LSD. It all tragically fails. He goes from losing all of his money, so he has to shut down the dolphin house, which is sad as fuck. And then he puts these dolphins in to like these small ass boxes, like where the dolphins could barely swim. And Peter the dolphin, commits suicide, John claims. He said Peter just went under the water and never came back up to breathe through the blowhole. Pause. And so, yeah, so that was the end of Peter. But yeah, so to John C. Lilly's credit, he failed, at what he was trying to do. He for sure expanded his consciousness. So one of his life goals was, complete, you know, he thought maybe in his lifetime or at some point well before this time that humans and cetaceans were going to be able to coexist. He wanted to build like these dolphin houses, like on each coastline, like anywhere that had dolphins near, like he wanted these dolphin houses just filled along the coastline, which would have been sick as hell. I actually got to swim with dolphins one time. And, I remember I was watching a video. I'm pretty sure I've said it before, but I always have like these delusions of grandeur about myself. But before we went swimming with the dolphins, you know, we had to watch like an instructional video, and you know, they were just talking about how smart dolphins were. And I thought in my 45 minute time in the water, I would be able to, and I swear to God, this is a real thought. I had this, I was my eighth grade year going into ninth grade year. We went on a cruise. And so that's how we ended up swimming with the dolphins. But yeah, I legit had a thought that I would be able to speak to these things. And, so I could see, you know, John C. Lilly had the same exact thought, and, you know, tragically wasn't able to do it. I would figure it would be maybe a lot more easier to learn in clicks and whistles. You know what I mean? If you can mimic like the clicks and the whistles that they do. But I'm a fucking idiot again. What the fuck would I know? But John C. Lilly, to his credit, never gave up trying. A lot of his, you know, he's mixed reaction because, you know, he started. A lot of people are mad at him about the putting the dolphins in like these small ass containers, and as you should be, you know what I mean? But he never gave up trying. He claimed to love these things. So, you know, he gets a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people love him. A lot of people think he was a brilliant guy. And then, you know, a lot of people think he was a con man. And to an extent, he was more than likely both. You know what I mean? A guy whose life mission is to, I understand expanding human consciousness, because I'm currently, I'm currently experimenting on myself to expand my own consciousness. So I completely understand that. But, you know, to add on to trying to create these cetacean nations, as he would call them, to me, that's just a tad bit more out there for me. Not completely against it, because I'm sure it could happen. But it would probably only be able to happen in their environment. You can't make no fake environment, and have it happen. But so that's John C. Lilly. Quick summary. Dude was sick as fuck. I'm with him on expanding consciousness. I'm all for it. I think everybody should expand their consciousness, and I think people would start to really realize what a dumb concept of a way of life we're living. It's easily the stupidest concept. We should all be growing crops. We should all be, raising cattle. You know, that should be you could still live indoors. Like, you know, it wouldn't be hard to have the type of houses we have now, you know what I mean? But that's how we should be living. It should be land like that. And there shouldn't be, I don't understand this like excessive need for, for like wanting to shop and buy shit. And I do again, because it's to try to get pussy again. We're blaming, you know, it goes back to the women fucking it all up for us. But like the need for fucking these big ass stores that are just selling like materialistic shit. Like, oh, okay, I understand. Maybe we do need clothes. You know, we probably need nothing but a loincloth, but let's say we do need clothes. It should like just be like white t-shirts, jeans or shorts, and Converse. Should be like, that should be all you need to wear. Like, what, like, it's just a gay way of life, really. It's completely fucking gay. It's completely retarded. We shouldn't want things. We shouldn't need fucking things. But if we start looking more into consciousness, you would realize, again, when I was on the mushrooms were telling me this is bullshit. And it's hard not to believe that this is bullshit. They created debt. You know what I mean? Which is bullshit. They charge you for fucking water. You know what I mean? Like, water is being charged. This shit is bullshit. Maybe John C. Lilly had it right, you know, because dolphins, they don't change their environment. We completely changed our environment. We could have put up a couple of wooden houses, stone, you know what I mean? Like, This is fucking crazy. There's more than enough room in this world to let the grasslands take over and be able to start living like that again. But yeah, you know, the thought of jobs, the thought of fucking shit that takes you away from connection with oneself, connection with one's family, connection with the fucking earth, you know, and connection with you know, whenever you're able to get there, you're astral beings. Yeah, it's all gay.